Malloy here. Thank you for tuning in. This situation in Japan is just astonishing. I mean, it's beyond description. The situation in Haiti was unbelievable. The situation in Indonesia was unbelievable. And God help me, but I think what makes this so incredibly unbelievable is the fact that, well, this was Japan. This is not a beaten down third world, fourth world country like Haiti that has been exploited for hundreds of years by white people. This is not Indonesia, an archipelago of thousands of islands that just scattered. This is the third, is it third? Fourth largest economy on earth? Or third? Third or fourth? It doesn't matter. An industrial economy, an economy that is a country, I hate to use that term economy, but in the terms I'm referring to, I can't help it. A nation that is certainly on a par in so many ways with Germany, with the UK, with Canada, with just going on and on. I would include the United States, but we're kind of sliding into the crap. Whereas Japan, with the idea of not Bushido, that's the way of the warrior, but what is the attitude, kind of the philosophical attitude, and I can't think of the word right now. That's right, it doesn't matter. But Japan. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight here in just a moment. This hour is sponsored, as a matter of fact, all 3 hours. Our sponsor tonight by Bill Bryan. His first hour message. This show is the best thing on the air. Truth seekers, please dig deep and sponsor to your pocketbook's limit and your heart's content. And your heart's content. We can pronounce that two different ways. Anyway, Bill Bryan is the sponsor of the entire program tonight. We'll be mentioning his name repeatedly. Before we move to the situation, the horror in Japan, I got this from George. And he writes, Mike, I work in the ER of a large hospital. Where it is isn't important because something like this probably happens 100 times a day. Today we treated an Iraq war vet who is suffering from the effects of a TBI, traumatic brain injury, probably caused by an IED. I don't believe in an afterlife, but I do know what hell looks like, having seen it in this person's eyes. This person lives in this Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld-Powell-created hell every day. And there's no way out of it for this person and thousands of others damaged in these damn wars. The VA makes a valiant effort to help these folks with their limited resources, but for many, there really isn't much anybody can do. Knowing that the war criminals who are responsible for the personal hells these people live in will probably die rich and from natural causes like some of their more accomplished mass murdering cohorts like Stalin and Pol Pot, makes it hard for me, and many others, I'm sure, not to resort to violence. Today I wish there was a vengeful God, along with a hell, to throw these bastards into, where they could be tortured for eternity for the personal hells they've created in this life. Instead, we get the smirking chimp on Oprah, Rumsfeld making a fortune on a book of lies, Powell doing so-called inspirational dog and pony shows, and Cheney still on the Sunday so-called news shows. All this while their victims struggle just to try to stay sane and survive after having their brains battered around inside their skulls. Damn these war criminals. Damn them to hell that today I wish existed. No justice, no peace. Damn the whole system that allows this crap to happen. I just had to vent. I can't get that Betts face out of my mind. I always kind of knew, and now I know what it looks like up close and personal. Signed, somebody who works in an ER. George. Well, the Saturday coming will be yet another opportunity for as many people around the country as want to turn out into the streets yet again, demanding an end to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. If you want to know where there is an event occurring in your city, go to worldcantwait.org. Worldcantwait.org. And you'll find a schedule. I'll be in Washington, D.C., and I know you'll be someplace. In all the coverage of what has occurred in Japan, have you noticed something? I have. The horror that has occurred there is constantly referred to by the Japanese government, at least insofar as it is reported by the news organizations. It's referred to by American correspondents. It's referred to by networks and newspapers. And I have yet to see the words Hiroshima and Nagasaki or hear them. Here's the way it's presented. Japan has suffered the most severe blow since World War II. And I think what is meant, Japan has suffered the most severe blow since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, for diplomatic reasons, especially at a time when the Japanese are desperately in need of assistance from everybody, especially the United States, and especially at a time when the United States is now run by people who are totally insane, all the way up to just below the waterline, which is Barack Obama and a few people around him keeping their head out of the water, maybe. The rest of the government of the United States is mad. When you get somebody in, what was the guy's name, Kathy? Riley, the guy in the, was it State Department or Defense Department who criticized the treatment of Bradley Manning? P.J. Crowley. State Department spokesperson. And he has to resign the next day because he speaks the truth. When you get some punk little bastard, who's the guy who put together the phony website on or a video on NPR? O'Keefe, you get some little rat son of a bitch like O'Keefe who can put out, and now it turns out the whole thing once again was doctored, puts out a video full of lies and distortions, and it gets wide press coverage. That is your proof that we live in a madhouse. When you have a member of Congress who, addressing an audience in New Hampshire, says the American Revolution started there in the cities of Concord and... oh, God, come on, Mike. When she really meant Massachusetts. So the Japanese have to be very careful. They need our help, and they know that we are run by insane people. More on this when we come back. American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Bill Bryan. His message: the show is the best thing on the air. True seekers, please dig deeper and sponsor to your pocketbook's limit and your heart's content. One of our listeners in LA, his name is Tim. He's Japanese American, has a family in Japan, and last Friday, before we went off the air, got a couple emails from him. He was pretty frantic trying to find out whether or not his family members were okay. And since then, he has let us know here at the Malloy program that they are okay. He wrote, "My good news, from Thursday to Sunday, my life was a mess because I was up all night trying to find ways to communicate to my relatives in Japan. No one could get in contact with anyone. Everybody in my family on this side of the pond were worried sick. Well, this Sunday, I got word that all were fine in Japan. Everyone was accounted for. You can hear the collective sigh of relief across the U.S., but that relief may be a little premature. As you know, the third plant exploded with casualties." Well, so much for Japan's stringent nuclear regulations. All I now know is that is why, or no, and I now know why a law-abiding nation can lose faith in their government. Like the Republicans, their leadership betrayed the people. And I think he's referring, of course, to the Japanese government. And then he added this: "Call our people naive, call us whatever you wish, but the likelihood of this happening again may be possible. Let me explain. In Japan, when the nuke power plant was created, there was this adverse hatred for nukes, especially after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But the problem was no one spoke up. It's part of our nature. There is this word in Japanese called enryo. Enryo means reserve, deference, hesitation, forethought, foresight, you know, being conservative. And most of the protesters to the plant being built back in the 70s were non-Japanese because of Enryo. Now that the plants are exploding and people are getting contaminated, the next issue in Japan is the fact that they are getting exposed. If you look up Burakumin, then you'll realize that many of the people who are exposed are not pure anymore. It's not a race thing. It's a spiritual issue. And to purify oneself, you have to die. GE knows this. General Electric knows this. And they know that they can take advantage of the culture and history of the Japanese. So who should be blamed for this ultimately? The CEO of Shaw Chow, the president of TEPCO, even if the Shacho is a new person, he is more likely to be blamed. And GE will more likely get off scot-free. Oh, and there is a great chance the Shacho is in Fukushima, as he will not send his workers in without the Shacho being there. If he will send his workers to die, so must he, to save face. My people are dying, and General Electric is profiting. And finally, look at the people. With very few exceptions, no one is crying out or protesting or spewing anger. Look up the word Gaman, G-A-M-A-N, and realize why General Electric is such an evil organization. Yeah, it is a cultural thing, as Tim points out. It's not racial, but a cultural thing to not protest, or if there is protest, it's very ritualistic, to not disrupt the collective being that is Japan, to be deferential to, I saw some video tonight that was on ABC of people, Japanese people in shelters, especially in that area in northern Japan that was hit so hard. And the people inside the shelter making do the best they can, I don't know, it was a gymnasium or something, sharing their food, sharing their tea, and recycling. They have bags up on the stage in this gymnasium. And in Japanese characters, it says, you know, this one is for plastic, this one is for metal, this one is for paper. Wow. Now, as you may or may not know, there has been the fourth explosion at these nuclear facilities. Or, I'm sorry, the third nuclear reactor has exploded. Or there has been an explosion within the containment building of the third nuclear reactor. And a lot of experts around the country are now saying all bets are off, that there is a tragedy coming that we can only guess at. More when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Then it hit me. Ain't nobody coming to get me. No one feels my pain. Once again, color of my skin reminds me things ain't changed.
You don't care.
Then it hit me, ain't nobody coming to get me. No one feels my pain. Once again,
searching wildly.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
This hour is sponsored by Bill Bryan. He's sponsoring the whole damn night. Bill's comment for this hour: this show is the best thing on the air. True seekers, please dig deep and sponsor to your pocketbook's limit and your heart's content. That's very kind. Thank you, Bill. All right. The way the Times is reporting it, an explosion early Tuesday morning. It happened at 6:14 a.m. Japan time, which had been 9:14 p.m. tonight Eastern time, which is just, is that right? Yeah, there's 14 hours difference, right? So this just happened, I guess, unless I've got that backwards, but I think there's 14 hours difference. The explosion damaged the number two reactor. This is the third blast striking the nuclear plant at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station. The third in a series of blasts that have now hit each of the three crippled reactors at the plant. And Time says it was not immediately clear if the blast was caused by the buildup of hydrogen as occurred in the other two reactors at Daiichi. Some early reports in the Japanese press suggested the latest explosion amounted to a different and more critical problem than the previous two. This explosion, reported to have occurred at 6:14 a.m., happened in the pressure suppression room in the cooling area of the reactor and inflicted some degree of damage on the pool of water used to cool the reactor, according to TEPCO, that's the Tokyo Electric Power Company. Radiation levels around the plant spiked to 8,217 microsieverts an hour from 1,941 about 40 minutes earlier. I don't know to what degree that is dangerous, truth seekers. Any damage to the steel containment vessel of a nuclear reactor is considered critical because it raises the prospect of an uncontrolled release of radioactive material and full meltdown of the nuclear fuel inside. To date, even during the four-day crisis in Japan that amounts to the worst nuclear accident since Chernobyl, workers had managed to avoid a breach of a containment vessel and had limited releases of radioactive steam to relatively low levels. Details of what happened remains unclear, with executives of TEPCO, the plant's operator, giving only preliminary reports and declining to answer questions from reporters pressing for more information, while reportedly apologizing, quote, for causing concern and inconvenience, end quote. This is what Tim was writing about. We are very sorry we caused inconvenience and concern. Then this newsflash. Just had a hydrogen explosion in a third reactor in Japan. Fuel rods were completely exposed. They're passing out iodine tablets in Japan now. Which, by the way, I've listened to expert after expert. The iodine tablet, first of all, it has to be potassium iodide. Maybe that's what they're talking about. Secondly, that doesn't mean anything. Radioactive iodine that gets into the atmosphere and then settles in the environment, on lakes, rivers, streams, grass, fields, and then up through the chain, if cows eat the grass that has been dusted, so to speak, with radioactive iodine, it goes into the food chain that way. By the time it gets to human beings, well, you know how it works. The Japanese government is still saying no risk to human health, although they have evacuated 180,000 people. They have evacuated apparently all but 50 workers from the plant. This is the reactor that uses a mix of uranium and plutonium. They think the base of the containment vessel is broken. On CNN, Elliot Spitzer is now doing a segment on prior safety fraud by TEPCO. They're also hitting hard on Vermont Yankee, the nuclear power plant, that when that blows, it's going to wipe out New York City, as you all know. And they're actually bringing in experts who are actually saying the situation is beyond bad. One just said that wasn't the quake that got the plant, it was the flood, the tsunami, and such floods can happen in the United States. Speculation that this puts an end to any more nukes being built in the U.S., pro-nuke sock puppets outworking the comments boards on the web, en masse, GE and crew must be shelling out millions to pay them. P.S. Now TEPCO has admitted that the thing is leaking. Leaking what? And by the way, I've heard all sorts of, you know, it must be extremely difficult for our good friend Rachel Maddow, who works for MSNBC, which is a joint venture of NBC and Microsoft. And NBC, of course, is massively partially owned by General Electric, one of the major weapons manufacturers on Earth and one of the biggest polluters ever. one of the most corrupting, polluting corporations ever put together. General Electric, they have done more damage to this planet than any other company that you can think of, even worse than the Koch brothers. General Electric. And it's my understanding, I may be wrong, but it's my understanding that these reactors were built in part by General Electric. I mean, what? I don't know. Maybe it's not sane to blame General Electric. What can withstand? It's now been upgraded to a 9.0 earthquake that produces the kind of tsunami activity that we've all seen over the weekend. What can withstand that? Quick answer, nothing. This earthquake was so powerful, it's my understanding that it shifted the axis of the earth. As did the one in Haiti, as did the one in Aceh, Indonesia. I'm not saying that this was unique, but these things are monster forces. It's beyond anything comprehensible to us. I mean, you know, we dance around on the surface with our iPads and iPods and Coach bags and other little garbagey toys and threaten to hurl nuclear bombs at each other. Meanwhile, the Earth, with one shrug, can throw the whole goddamn planet off its axis. And what's this I heard? That Japan, because of this, is now 6, 8, 9 feet further east than before. Now, I realize that's just, you know, verbal bubblegum. I understand plate tectonics to the degree that I understand it. So it's not like, ooh, wow, gosh, really? But even so, it's a demonstration, I think, of the just unmeasurable power. And we have nuclear plants. You know, I said the other night when this first happened, kind of a half-assed statement on my part, you know, why would a country in such an earthquake-prone zone build nuclear power plants so close to the sea? You know, and of course, immediately I got like 100 emails pointing out to me that, you know, we have them on the coasts here also. And I just a brain fart. I wasn't thinking. Of course, I got the, who'd this email come from? Reg sends us, LA Times today tells it that the folks who live near the San Onofre, is that how you pronounce that? San Onofre nuclear plant in San Diego County are perfectly safe. According to Gil Alexander, a spokesman for Southern California Edison, the 84-acre nuclear generating station is built to withstand a magnitude 7.0 earthquake. Oh, well, that's real goddamn reassuring, isn't it? Because an 8.0 earthquake would be merely 10 times more powerful than a 7.0. The 1906 San Francisco quake registered 7.9 on the Richter scale. Oh, so they build a nuclear power plant that will withstand a 7.0 earthquake. Way to go, guys! And, not to worry, the Japanese quake was a drop-off. 9.0, which is 1,000 times more powerful than 7.0. So sleep tight and rest assured that Southern California Edison loves you. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Conservative Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
A flag on your car and a ribbon on your mailbox with the stars of ours. Do you support the president and the war for oil? Do you think the sun's belong there on someone else's soil? How far is it from here to Nuremberg?
10 before the hour. Math error. Each point on the Richter scale increases by a multiple of 10. A 9.0, like the one in Japan, is 1,000 times more powerful than a 6.0, not a 7.0. It is only 100 times more powerful than a 7.0. So everyone is safe after all. Right? Randy in Seoul, South Korea, writes, Seoul and Tokyo are in the same time zone. There's a 13-hour difference when this event was reported at 8:15 in the morning. It would have been 9:15 in the evening here. Okay, 13-hour difference. Regarding potassium iodide, Irish Dave writes, the organic answer is saltwater kelp. And Bruce, regarding this triple-pronged horror that has struck Japan, Bruce writes, oh, and did you hear anyone from Japan? Or regarding the recent flooding in Australia, make noise that it was God's vengeance against the gays? Or such crap? Well, of course not. Neither of these societies consider idiocy a virtue. But we do. Yeah, isn't that the truth? I mean, every time there is a disaster, I'm sure somebody on one of these Christian filthy broadcast networks, these purveyors of perversion and obscenity and blasphemy, even it's blasphemous even to me, and I don't believe any of this garbage, but I'm sure somebody out there, since all those programs are usually taped, I'm sure they're already talking about, well, this is God being pissed off because there are too many Buddhists or Shintoists or Confucianists or whatever in Japan. And so God just said, well, I'm going to kill them. But you won't hear anybody in Japan. San Onofre is the where the nuclear reactor is on the West Coast. And then, of course, this. The Guardian of the UK says nuclear experts are starting to question the accuracy of the official information issued by the Japanese government about the Fukushima nuclear accident. And if that's the case, truth seeker, it doesn't mean anything. It follows a pattern of cover up, secrecy. That the reactor operators in any country. I mean, look at the Russians. Look what happened at Three Mile Island. It doesn't make any difference. These son of a bitches always lie. They always lie. Having nuclear reactor. You know what gets me is. Remember years ago, you have to be over a certain age to remember this, they were talking about harnessing the energy of the atom. We were going to, after using it to instantly murder 300,000 people and slowly murder another million, we were now going to use it, we were going to harness the atom. I remember those commercials, and most of them were from General Electric. You know, we bring good things to life. And then, of course, we just turn around and goddamn kill them whenever we want to. But we were going to harness the power of the atom. And I can imagine that the cosmic hoo-ha, you know, that powerful dark matter or dark energy or light energy, whatever the hell it is that pulsates through the universe, which probably is what people who believe in God really are referencing. You know, this powerful source of unexplainable, undefinable blank heard that, in a manner of speaking. Oh, the human beings are going to harness the power of the atom? They're going to harness, they're going to, like a horse, right? Is that what that means? Like a horse or a goat or an ox. I'm going to harness the power of the atom. Guess what? Anyway, a pattern of secrecy and cover-ups employed in other nuclear accidents now appears to be happening in Japan. A nuclear engineer who has worked for the UK government and been commissioned to report on the accident for Greenpeace International said, quote, it's impossible to get any radiation readings. He said the actions of the Japanese government are completely contrary to their words. They have evacuated 180,000 people, but say there is no radiation. They are certain to have readings, but we are being told nothing. At the moment, it is impossible to know the extent of this. It was the same at Chernobyl, where they said there was a bit of a problem, and only later did the full extent emerge. Yeah, remember when it emerged, when the radiation readings... atmospheric radiation readings in, where was it, Norway, started to go off the charts? Remember that? According to some reports, 17 helicopter crewmen helping in rescue efforts were contaminated with low-level radiation, but Japanese officials declined to comment. And then there's this. In a newly released diplomatic cable obtained by WikiLeaks, politician Taro Kono, a high-profile member of Japan's lower house, tells U.S. diplomats that the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, the Japanese government department responsible for nuclear energy, has been, quote, covering up nuclear accidents and obscuring the true costs and problems associated with the nuclear industry, end quote. Gosh, I'm sure glad they don't do that in this country. Thank you, Bill, and his message this hour. The show is the best thing on the air. Truth seekers, please dig deep and sponsor to your pocketbook's limit and your heart's content. Your pocketbook's limit. CNN is now reporting that apparently the containment vessel inside the reactor, inside the building, was breached with this last explosion. If that's the case, Japan for tonight, and depending on the prevailing winds, I guess, and it's my understanding in that part of the world, the winds blow primarily west to east, which would bring them across the Pacific, that whatever area is going to be affected is going to be affected in a horrific way. Hard to think about the people in Japan. I can't even imagine. Earthquake is horrible. Tsunami, horrible. Meltdowns of nuclear reactors, unspeakable. But all three of them? Right before the break, I was talking about these newly released diplomatic cables obtained by WikiLeaks. In them, politician Taro Kono, high-profile member of Japan's lower house, tells U.S. diplomats that the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, which is the Japanese government department responsible for nuclear energy, has been, quote, covering up nuclear accidents and obscuring the true costs and problems associated with the nuclear industry, end quote. Those are in cables, U.S. diplomatic cables. Oh, yeah, let's lock up Bradley Manning and torture him because we suspect that maybe he was responsible for helping get these kinds of cables released. The whistleblower, kill him. The people who commit the crimes, cover it up. Son of a bitch. In 2008, Taro Kono told U.S. diplomats, quote, the ministries were trapped in their policies as officials inherited policies from people more senior to them, which they could then not challenge. There again, the Japanese culture. End quote. He mentioned the dangers of natural disasters in the context of nuclear waste disposal, citing Japan's, quote, extensive seismic activity and abundant groundwater, and he questioned if there really was a safe place to store nuclear waste in the, quote, land of volcanoes, end quote. Paul Dorfman, co-secretary of the committee examining radiation risks, a UK government advisory committee that was disbanded 7 years ago, said, quote, what we are seeing now follows a clear pattern of secrecy and denial. He went on to say the Japanese government has always tended to underplay accidents. At the moment, the Japanese claims of safety are not to be believed by anyone. The health effects of what has happened so far are imponderable. Well, there's a word you don't see very often, do you? The reality is we just do not know. There is profound uncertainty about the impact of this accident. I would expect that most Americans are going to go about our business tonight and not pay too much attention. Oh, did you hear about the earthquake? Yeah, it was terrible. I hate to be a cynical old bastard, but this is a way we react to this. Now, I'm not talking about the rescue organizations that are heading over there. Oh my God, search and rescue, search and recovery, all kinds of technicians and men and women who are heading from all over the planet, but from the United States to help. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the general attitude of the huge majority of Americans. It's just something. I don't know. Is American Idol on tonight? Bruce writes in, now that Chile, New Zealand, and Japan have all had major quakes, the only high-stress point on the Pacific plate that hasn't had a major quake are the two major faults in the United States. The big one is off the coast of Washington State that hasn't moved for 250 years and could move anytime. San Andreas in California hasn't moved for 150 years and is past due. Of course, it could be another 100 years, so why do anything about the 40-year-old reactors that were designed to last 25 years and have just been relicensed for another 25 years? What possibly could go wrong? There are about 30 General Electric reactors built in the U.S. at the same time they suckered the Japanese into buying theirs. Turns out I live only 25 miles from one. I'm switching from tin cans to lead cans for the canned goods. Local news is reassuring us that we are in an area that only rates 4 on a scale of 10 for the likelihood of a major earthquake, according to the Nuclear Energy Commission. But Three Mile Island didn't have an earthquake. Oh, boy. Of course, the videos are all over YouTube, all over the place. Is it disaster porn to look at those? I've looked at a couple of them, and I don't think I can do any more. I mean, it is murderously intriguing, isn't it? I mean, you start to watch one of these, and you see this 20, 30-foot high wall of horror bearing down on a town in northern Japan, and whoever shot the video is up in, I don't know, a 4 or 5-story, 6-story structure of some sort. And in the lower left corner of the video, you can see people who are like loading up their cars or running around in the street, and they don't have the perspective, the view that the person with the camera has. And coming at these people, loading their cars or whatever it is they're doing, is this, I don't know, what is it, 20 miles long, wide, 50? This massive wall of destruction that nothing will survive coming. And you look at this video, and the video clicks off before it engulfs them. But here comes this massive, I mean, it doesn't look earthly. It looks horrifying. I mean, a kind of stupefying horror that just, so I watched a couple of those and I just thought, you can't do this. This is the worst kind of pornography. You must stop. The reason I mention that, Associated Press is reporting hundreds of bodies washing ashore now on Japan's northeast coast. Funeral homes and crematoria are overwhelmed. Officials have run out of body bags and coffins. We'll be right back. The hour. A senior nuclear industry executive in Japan speaking to the New York Times said that Japanese nuclear industry managers are, quote, basically in a full-scale panic, end quote. No, I'm sorry. That was not a Japanese nuclear industry executive. It was someone else. Said that Japanese nuclear industry managers are, quote, basically in a full-scale panic. The executive is not involved in managing the response to the reactor's difficulties. Well, apparently it was Japanese, but has many contacts in Japan. Okay, he's not. The executive added, quote, they're in total disarray. They don't know what to do, end quote. And earlier this evening, I read something that the appeal has gone out now for help from the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, and the United States. It is, it speaks volumes more than most of us realize to A, have a country, any country, beg for assistance. It is something else again that it is a country that is the second or third biggest economy on earth. But it's off the charts to consider that this is the Japanese culture that is literally begging for assistance here. Now, the only reason I bring that up is to indicate the horrific, the unthinkable tragedy that is about to occur, or potential tragedy. Maybe it can be stopped. Maybe there was a little bit of truth 50 years ago when they were talking about harnessing the power of the atom. Electricity will be so cheap, we won't even meter it. You see, over here, about 5 miles from downtown Toledo or downtown, pick a city, we're going to have a nuclear reactor, and it's going to generate electrical power. And hell, we could just run a little thin wire to your house. And the amount of energy used would be negligible to the point you wouldn't even get a bill. We're going to harness the power of the atom. The arrogance. Isn't that true? I know that my Hopi friend out in Arizona is listening to me tonight, and he says, well, Malloy, that's what I've been telling you, the arrogance, the astonishing, unbelievable arrogance. Of European people, American people. Man. The town of Soma? You're kidding me. The town of Soma in Japan. I guess this is in the prefecture where all this is occurring, Miyagi Prefecture. The town of Soma has only one crematorium that can handle 18 bodies a day, said an official. Katsuhiko Abe. Abe told the Associated Press, quote, we are overwhelmed and are asking other cities to help us with dead bodies. End quote. When have you heard a request like that? Hayami Sato, a government official in Iwate Prefecture, one of the hardest hit, said deliveries of supplies were just 10% of what is needed. Body bags and coffins were running so short that the government may turn to foreign funeral homes for help. Hundreds of aftershocks. The latest one was a 6.2 magnitude quake that was followed by a new tsunami scare today. The warning turned out to be a false alarm. All right, we'll take a break here and come back. There's some other things I wanted to cover if possible. It's just difficult to talk about other things right now. But other things to be talked about, we have to do. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all.
Drive out, I'm leaving.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey, right? With Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. As you can imagine, there are already the vermin, the filthy, filthy human beings who nest in this country, who are using YouTube videos to declare that these events in Japan is because God is furious about their atheism. I just mentioned that in passing. Somebody sent me a video. It's just horrible. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Bill Bryan, like the last hour was, and the next one. Bill is great. Thank you, Bill. His message, this show is the best thing on the air. True Seekers, please dig deep and sponsor to your pocketbook's limit and your heart's content. Yeah. Mike in Chicago sent me an email with two or three points in it. The other two are different topics, but I'll do point number two. Mike writes, Indian Point nuclear reactor in New York was originally built decades ago to withstand a 3.0 earthquake on the Richter scale. Seismologists now predict a 7.0 at some point in northern New York. And yet nothing is being done to reinforce the walls of the nuclear reactor, let alone the free rein people have to fly over the reactors without being bothered by the government, as the documentary Imagine the Unimaginable pointed out. By the way, the temperature is dropping to 2 to 3 degrees with snow in the next 3 days in Japan, and they expect thousands to die of the cold because of no heat, and the roads leading to the reactors are destroyed, so they can't get emergency equipment there when the meltdown occurs. Oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God. This is from Matt in St. Louis. Matt writes, Mike, when I saw the diagram in the Sunday New York Times of the reactor buildings in Japan, my immediate concern was the fact that the spent reactor fuel rods are stored in pools at the top of the buildings, not off-site, and that these spent fuel pools are not shielded within in the protective containment vessel which houses the reactor core. Building 1 exploded on Saturday. Building 3 exploded yesterday. I have seen the photos, and it seems that these pools have been severely damaged and quite possibly vaporized. This is from Daily Kos a few hours ago. Quote, as of 2010, there were 3,450 fuel assemblies in the pool at the number 3 reactor. The destruction of the number 3 reactor building has experts concerned about whether the spent fuel storage pool, which sits just below the roof, could have survived intact that hydrogen explosion. End quote. Matt writes, a particular concern, cesium-137 in the pool at levels estimated at 20 million to 50 million curies. The 1986 Chernobyl accident released about 40% of the reactor core's 6 million curies. Also, the fuel rods are composed of uranium and plutonium coated in a zirconium alloy. The half-life of the favored fissible plutonium is 21,400 years. Quite possibly that plutonium has been vaporized and spread into the atmosphere. monitoring stations in the Pacific won't pick that up for a few days. I believe, Matt writes, that a major nuclear disaster has already occurred. Tomorrow's wind will change off the coast of Japan and blow inland toward Tokyo. We are not getting the information, and nobody has pointed out the precarious situation in the mainstream media of what might have happened to tons of spent nuclear fuel in these exploded buildings. Who cares what happens inside the containment? If the spent fuel pools were exploded, then the disaster already has happened. Matt in St. Louis. Get nervous, truth seekers. From Jeanette. More than likely, it's the mighty hand of Mother Earth telling us to stop destroying her. It's all over for us. If Obama and the other rat bastards still insist on more nuclear power plants and won't dismantle the ones we've got, there's one less than an hour from here, of course, right next to a reservation. If they want if they continue to increase fracking, which may have caused recent earthquakes, and if they continue drilling, we are a completely suicidal society. I can't believe they're allowed to do those particular accelerator experiments that could cause us to disappear into a black hole. Oh, yeah, the particle accelerator. What happened to all the renewable energy Obama was going to invest in? I've seen green, renewable stuff on television that blew my mind. They're already being done in this country on a small scale and in other countries. It's not like we have to start from scratch. I'm getting effing mad again. Don't you love the constant stress and anxiety? I just thought of that picture of Molly hugging you at the Solidarity protest, and it made me feel a little better. Give her an extra hug for me. I hope there's still a chance for some happiness and a better world for all of us. Jeanette. Yow. I'm going to move off of this topic unless there is something that comes across CNN in a breaking news kind of way. They have their breaking news banner up right now, but it's about the third blast. I received about 30 emails today, and I think Kathy got about 50, asking if we have mentioned this website yet. It's the website that is attempting to secure signatures, I believe, to impeach this brain-dead little bastard that Koch brothers put into power in Wisconsin. The website is defendingwisconsin.org. If you've not been there, it might be good to go there. DefendingWisconsin.org. Okay? DefendingWisconsin.org. And there are petitions there to sign. Now, of course, if you live outside of Wisconsin, it doesn't matter. I mean, the names that show up on this petition are not going to be, official names to get rid of this punk. That's going to take an awful lot of work, awful lot of legwork on the ground in Wisconsin. But at least I think it would inspire the people who will be doing that legwork and the people in Wisconsin. Just like the people in Japan, I know that they have not the least bit concerned, maybe not, that the whole world is ready to help. How many countries have heard that before? But the people in Wisconsin, I think, need to understand that Americans are behind them in this struggle for workers' rights. And, of course, you know and I know the struggle is not limited to Wisconsin. We know that. So, defending wisconsin.org, if you would check out that website. I'd appreciate it. Big shocker, huh? This punk-ass O'Keefe, James O'Keefe. Would you like to just pants him? Did you do that when you were in middle school, elementary school? We used to do it. We'd have some boy who was just a slobby little bastard like James O'Keefe. And rather than take him out on the playground and beat his ass, which, you know, would get us all in trouble with the principal, we would wait until the right moment and then come up behind him. And a couple of boys would hold his arms. Now, we didn't do this. Is not a bullying thing. This is a retaliatory thing. You know, if it was just a punk, just a real punk, and hold his arms, and somebody reach around, unbuckle his belt, and just yank his pants. And if you're lucky, you get his underpants too, right down to the floor, right in the hallway, right during class change. And it was the most humiliating thing to pants somebody. It was the most humiliating thing that a boy could go through. I have a feeling that James O'Keefe should be invited someplace under some pretext, the way he operates. And when he gets there, just pants him and toss him out in the street. You know, do it in, oh, I don't know, Midtown Manhattan. You know, they've turned, Mayor Bloomberg turned a whole big chunk of the theater section in Midtown Manhattan into a mall, pedestrian mall. Get James O'Keefe down there under some pretense. I don't know, offer him money or something, or tell him Murdoch wants to meet him. And then when he gets down there, just rip his clothes off. Just make him naked and turn him loose. Don't hurt him, you know, just pants him. We'll be right back.
It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Let me back up just for a second before I go into this dumbass James O'Keefe bit of garbage. And I want to back up to what I said about how most of us in this country really don't give a damn. I mean that. On the other hand, there are search and rescue and search and recovery teams that are just astonishingly adept, qualified, and brave. And they must have stomachs and visual systems that are made of steel to be able to see what they see, smell what they smell, uncover what they uncover, and keep doing it. So I just want to go back and mention that. The teams from Los Angeles and I think Houston are either in Japan now or more on the way, whose expertise is trying to find survivors or corpses in a disaster of this magnitude. So I just wanted to clarify that. I don't mean to disparage these rescue teams for their bravery, their dedication in any manner. I'm just talking about most of us. I mean, people like you and me are horrified and shocked and distraught, and we don't know what to do. So most of us don't do anything, but we acknowledge it. It's another chip off of our soul. It's another ding in the cosmic flow, another gouge. But for the right-wingers and the morons and the booger-eaters and the cockroaches that infest this country, it's God's punishment to Japan, or it really isn't that big of a deal, or, oh my God, this is their punishment for Pearl Harbor, or, I mean, just the kind of vomitous, insane ramblings that we have finally, with the advent of the internet, we realize exists in this country. I didn't know it, did you? I never knew it. I knew we had bigots, I knew we had fools, I knew we had people who would do anything in their power to prevent other folks from having basic human rights, civil rights. But I didn't realize the extent, the depth of this poison that exists in this society until the advent of the internet and the fact that anyone can be a publisher now. Jesus God, what a sick, sick place. The Acorn video was a fake. This is from Daily Kos. The Shirley Sherrod video was a fake. So why should anyone be surprised to find that the NPR video is also a fake? James O'Keefe has no interest in the truth. Instead, his well-funded hit machine has only one purpose, to distort and manufacture controversy. Closer look at the most recent video shows that the NPR hit piece includes lies of both omission and commission. At many points in the raw footage, former NPR fundraiser Ron Schiller can be seen rejecting attempts by the fake Muslims to buy favorable coverage. Instead, Schiller makes it clear that NPR's coverage is not for sale. It's also noted that O'Keefe's edited tape ignores the fact that Schiller said, quote, six times over and over and over again, that donors cannot buy the kind of coverage that the so-called Muslims wanted on NPR. None of this material made O'Keefe's filthy little tape, this little masturbatory bastard that keeps doing this, right? Neither did several complimentary or thoughtful things that Schiller said about Republicans and conservatives. Unable to get Schiller to say what he wanted, O'Keefe resorted to creating statements in the best traditions of comedy sketches. He stitched an answer to one question onto a completely different question. One big warning flag seen in the shorter tape was the way it made it appear that Schiller had laughed and commented, "Really? That's what they said?" after being told that the fake Muslim group advocates for Sharia law. In fact, the longer tape shows that Schiller made that comment during an innocuous exchange that had nothing to do with the supposed group's position on Sharia law. That innocuous exchange, it's actually from earlier in the conversation. O'Keefe didn't just chop minutes out of the interview. He cut, copied, pasted, and rearranged the video to make Schiller into the parody of an NPR executive that the right expected. The real scandal here isn't anything that Schiller said. It's that anyone treats O'Keefe and his video sausage grinding seriously. And that NPR, like the Obama administration in the last round of this unmitigated bald-faced manipulation, the Obama NPR reacts as if anything O'Keefe is producing can be trusted. There may be no clearer marker of media's decline than in their treating O'Keefe as a legitimate source, like Scott Walker's actions against the unions in Wisconsin. O'Keefe isn't out there to find the truth. He's out there to smash anyone not part of the conservative club. And if that's what it takes, and if what it takes is an unending stream of sewage, he has no problem with that. He's not a muckraker. He's a muckmaker. Mark Sumner wrote that. It was sourced from Daily Kos. I really think that this bastard, no, he shouldn't be beaten up. That would be too easy. He's such an ugly, skinny little prick. I think what should happen to him is that he should be taken someplace and pantsed. Just take his drawers down. Just pants him. And force him to run around Midtown Manhattan with his little pimply ass in the breeze and make sure that CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC are all there to record the historic moment. That's all you have to do with punks like that. You don't beat them up. That would be satisfying. You just humiliate them. That's all. Take his pants off. Leave his shirt on. And let him run around Midtown Manhattan like this stupid little clown that he is. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. It's my understanding that the Prime Minister of Japan is going to make a televised address at 11 a.m. Japan time, which would be midnight our time, 13-hour difference. 11 a.m. would be midnight here the previous night. So 11 a.m. Tuesday morning, Japan time. I would imagine that one of the American networks would carry that. If they don't, I'm sure Al Jazeera would. But you have to go online to get that. Anyway, in about 55 minutes, the Prime Minister of Japan is scheduled to make a televised address. And also, I'm going to play something for you. Eric just sent this to me. It's from the CBC in Canada, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Half the video, which I can't show you on the air, is a forecast of the plume, radioactive plume, that is going to come across the Pacific. But I want you to listen here for the first half, about a minute and a half, of the reporter for CBC as she describes, I believe the anchor tosses it to the reporter, and she describes what Canadians and North Americans can expect.
A possible tsunami was the immediate threat here in BC. Now there is the risk of radioactive fallout. Two nuclear power plants in Japan are damaged. And as Belle Peary reports, that's cause for alarm here.
Japan has declared a state of emergency at two nuclear power plants. Five reactors have been shut down because of cooling problems due to power outages after the earthquake. Radioactive vapor has been released from at least one of them to protect the reactor. The question is, where will the vapor go?
We tend to see weather systems coming up and over via sort of the Aleutian Panhandle or down through Hawaii and up and in.
In the long term, it'll come to us. The danger depends on what happens in Japan. If the cooling systems aren't repaired within 24 hours, a core meltdown is a risk. The worst case is a Chernobyl scenario with explosions destroying the reactors and sending a deadly plume of radioactivity into the air. Nuclear experts say venting radioactive steam into the atmosphere to alleviate pressure in the reactors is bad for the population generally. The winds right now, for the short term, are good for the Japanese.
If a concentrated plume of this so-called dilute radioactive steam comes their way, enters under their door sills, under their window sills, and they breathe it in, they're getting a dose of radioactivity.
Experts say taking the lid off a reactor is much like taking the lid off a pot of boiling water. You can't control what's going to happen. And in the case of the reactors, no one can say how long the steam will vent, how high it will vent, and how far it will travel. Belle Peary, CBC News, Vancouver.
If you want to find that on YouTube, CBC Japan disaster, I guess, would be the best way to look it up. That's the first minute 48, I think. And then the second, a minute or so, the woman who put this together with the newscast then provides an animated weather map showing the prevailing winds across the northern Pacific as they pick up this radiation and head toward the continental, continental North America. And it's pretty spooky stuff to look at. But anyone who thinks that these kinds of events can be contained within the country where they occur is either extremely ignorant or somebody who watches Fox News. Oh, but I repeat myself. And, of course, the reporter there did not have the fact that there are three reactors that have gone wobbly, as the Brits would say. This hour, the third hour tonight, is sponsored by Bill Bryan. Hot damn, Bill. His message. Mike's probably as tired of reading my spiel as I am of typing it, so I'll say it a little differently. Mike and Kathy need our help. Truth Seekers, please sponsor as generously as you can. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for the sponsorship, and thanks for thanks for that message, too. Appreciate it. I've got to go away from all this, the smell of this disaster. It's just, I mean, you can only do so much of it, right? I mean, like I say, it becomes disaster porn after a while. a lot of right-wingers love to watch that stuff, the same way they like to watch sexual porn. But normal people have got to get away from it for a second. So let's move on to something that just purely, simply insane. And that's Michelle Bachmann. Now, you know how much the Tea Party dumbasses just love those founding fathers, huh? Adele Stan, this is sourced from the website 358, but she writes, Tea Partiers love those founding fathers, not to mention muskets and tricorn hats and all the things symbolic of the American Revolution. But when it comes to actual revolutionary history, they're often a bit wanting. Take Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota, please, who has, at a maybe campaign stop in New Hampshire this weekend, cited the Granite State. New Hampshire is the place where the shot heard round the world was fired at Lexington and Concord. This is how Politico's Ben Smith reported it. What she said, quote, "What I love about New Hampshire and what we have in common is our extreme love of liberty. You're the state where the shot was heard around the world in Lexington and Concord, and you put a marker in the ground and paid with the blood of your ancestors the very first price that had to be paid to make this the most magnificent nation that has ever arisen in the annals of man in 5,000 years of recorded history. And this is the way I talk. And I am just a crazy, crazy woman from Minnesota." Lexington and Concord in New Hampshire. Now, everybody in New Hampshire, one would assume, that would attend a political rally, even for a half-wit like Bachmann, wouldn't you think they would possibly know that the Revolutionary War did not really start in New Hampshire? It just, you know, really didn't. Did any of those people read The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere? We remember that? "'Twas the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive." Was it Wordsworth? Who remembers that famous day and year? He said to his friend, "If the British march by land or by sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower is a signal light. One if by land, two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be." That was in Boston. "Ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm." Yada, yada, yada. Then he said goodnight with a muffled roar. God, I don't believe I remember this. Silently rode to the Charlestown shore. It's across from Boston. Blah, blah, blah. And then as he starts his ride, it was won by the village clock when he galloped into Medford town. He saw the gilded weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, blank and bare, gazed at him with a spectral glare as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would soon look upon. For Christ's sake, I learned that 50 years ago. And I don't live in New Hampshire or Massachusetts, but it's astonishing to me. Bachmann, this woman is dumber than hell. Just, I mean, what fifth grader doesn't know that Lexington and Concord and Paul Revere's ride in the American Revolution? And besides, when she talks about the shot heard round the world, I thought the Boston Massacre was really the beginning of the Revolutionary War. I wonder if Bachmann knows who the first casualty, the race of the first man shot dead in the American Revolution. No, never mind.
Yeah.
that she hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Okay, time's up. Somebody ought to tell Michelle Bachmann and the rest of these Tea Party half-asses that the Boston Massacre in I don't know what year, but it was prior to the Declaration of Independence. And if I remember, there were five or six people that were killed. The first person, the colonists that were killed, the first person was a mixed-race man, part African, part who knows, but for all intents and purposes, in a historical sense, given how this country is freaked out by race and always has been, this was an African, this was a black man, Crispus Attucks, who took the first bullet. He was the first person to die, Michelle Bachmann, in the American Revolutionary War, and it didn't occur in New Hampshire, you half-witted moron. Anyway, as a little more of this from Adelie Stan. Adelie, how do you pronounce A-D-E-L-E? Adelie or Adele? Adelie? She writes, the gaffe Bachmann made speaks to a fundamental characteristic of the Tea Party movement. It's a particular idea of the Founding Fathers and the Revolution that sparked the movement, not America's actual history. If the Tea Party version, in the Tea Party version of American history, the founders were as gods, all virtue, no vice, despite the fact that a number of them owned slaves, Tea Party revisionism often has it that none of these slaveholders ever took sexual advantage of the women they claimed to own, despite the existence of a whole African-American branch of the Jefferson family. Yeah, that would be Sally Hemings' descendants. And on and on and on. But I just wonder why Michelle Bachmann, with that deer in the headlights look, a deer that's about to be run over by a semi, why does she get any airtime on national television? I can understand why the Murdoch terrorist broadcast organization would do it. They're all a bunch of goddamn fools and idiots, and they televise to fools and idiots. But the real world? Why? I mean, the world where James O'Keefe doesn't exist? What? Why Bachmann? She's crazy. She's certifiably insane. This hour is sponsored by Bill Bryan, whose message this hour, the whole damn night has been sponsored by Bill Bryan. His message this hour: Mike's probably as tired of reading my spiel as I am of typing it, so I'll say it a little differently. Mike and Kathy need your help, need our help, Truth Seekers. Please support as generously as you can. Well, that's a nice sentiment in addition to sponsoring the program. From Maggie in Mount Shasta, California, she writes, Mike, you and I both can remember how they hyped atomic power back in the 60s. This is going to create free or practically no-cost utility bills for us all. They had those little cute cartoon characters of a Jetson-like atomic future and those serious white TV spokesmen telling us how good this was going to be for us. Yet, as a school kid, having been made to hide under my desk with civil defense drills, I wasn't buying that nuclear power could be anything but scary. I'm not a scientist, but I just looked on a website that shows a diagram of global wind patterns, and it looks like prevailing winds may take the radiation up toward Alaska. Watch out, Sarah Palin. How will they drill, baby, drill, if it's all radioactive? They'll probably do it anyway and sell us plutonium-riddled gasoline. Maybe that'll give us better gas mileage. But seriously, we don't really have a clue about how this will affect us here in the western states and even globally. If this plutonium cloud hits, it means radiation will be in the soil and food chain. And I'm freaking out about my two granddaughters, 2.5 and 9 months old. I'm not being passive like the numb, ignorant Americans you're talking about. I'm scared blankless about this. Remember On the Beach, the film? Plus, I've traveled to Japan 3 times and loved the country, the people, and their culture, and I am terrified for them. It's so densely populated there. Can you just imagine the horror? All us tree huggers worried about this kind of stuff happening, and the lunatics have always had the power. So here we are. I am so angry, but at the same time, I'm one nervous truth seeker. Maggie, in Mount Shasta, California. Yeah, I hear you, Maggie. All right, we have a break here, and we shall plow on ahead, trying to put some things into the program other than this horror that's going on in Japan. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. In about 25 minutes, it's my understanding that the Premier of Japan, Prime Minister of Japan, is to make a speech. I'm sure it's going to be, if we can get it here in America, I'm sure it's going to be chilling. This hour is sponsored by Bill Bryan. Thanks, Bill. He has sponsored all 3 hours tonight. This is from the Capital Times in Madison. The Senate Majority Leader there, Republican rat bastard named Scott Fitzgerald, has told other Republicans in the Senate that any votes taken by Senate Democrats in standing committee, public hearings, and executive sessions will not be counted or recorded. You get that? This little dictator son of a bitch. You know, it may be time to get a little bit more serious in Madison than gathering together and chanting and yelling and holding up signs. Here's a guy saying, and he is the Senate Majority Leader in the Madison or in the Wisconsin Senate. He is saying that any votes taken by Democrats in the Senate are no longer valid. Jesus, God. Oh, man. Would that I were a Democratic senator in that body. I would go up to Mr. Fitzgerald and rip his drawers off. I would pants him so hard and so fast. This is what he said in an email this afternoon that was posted on wispolitics.com, W-I-S-politics.com. Quote, please note that all 14 Democratic, or Democrat, as they call them, senators are still in contempt of the Senate. Therefore, when taking roll call votes on amendments and bills during executive sessions, Senate Democrats' votes will not be reflected in the records of committee proceedings or the Senate Journal. End quote. Fitzgerald added, though, that these senators are free to attend hearings and listen to testimony and debate legislations and introduce amendments and cast votes to signal their support or their opposition, but the bills will not be counted or entered into the record. Senator Fred Risser, Democrat of Madison, said, quote, in my career of 50-some years, I have never come across a situation where the majority leader of any party could determine that the votes of another party could not count. This is the height of arrogance, end quote. I would say it's more than that, Senator Risser. I would say that this guy needs to have his pants taken off and pushed out into downtown Madison with his wee-wee flopping in the cold breeze. I mean, that's the only way you deal with tyrants. You can have a violent revolution. You can arrest them and execute them. You can do this. You can do that. But I think the most effective way is to pants them. Most of these Republicans have rather large derrieres. You can tell by just the video. Maybe it's from all that cheese. I have no idea. But, oh, we got them down here, too. Down here, they eat pork. But I think Mr. Fitzgerald needs to have his pants taken off of him. I think the 14 Democratic senators ought to lay in wait in the men's room. And when this guy comes in to pee, just immediately grab him, take his pants off and his skivvies. He probably wears those big old boxer-looking bloomer undergarments, right? Can't you just see that? You know, take off his pants and his bloomers. And then, you know, instead of pushing him out the bathroom door, carry him to, what was that? There was a bar I went to in downtown Madison when I made a trip there one time back in the day when the mic liked my program. This is before they decided to cut me up in little pieces and play me at 3 a.m. or whatever the hell they do there now. I really don't give a damn, to tell you the truth. We're kind of used to that. But there was a bar there that I went to in downtown Madison. And so I think they ought to get this Fitzgerald, take his pants off and his underwear, and carry him, you know, like the slaves used to carry the Pharaoh. You know, carry him. If necessary, lash him to a couple of poles and carry him downtown to that bar. And then untie him and just turn him loose. Let him run around with his butt cheeks hanging out. That's the only thing you do to these people. So Senator Scott Fitzgerald, Senate Majority Leader, says the Democrats' votes are not going to count. Senator Fred Risser, the Democrat from Madison, said that he and other members of the Building Commission subcommittee met today on Governor Scott Walker's capital budget and acted in a nonpartisan manner. Senator Risser said, quote, we acted in the interest of the state of Wisconsin and improved a good share of the governor's recommendations and will be presenting the capital budget to the Finance Committee. I don't even know if he has the power to say the votes are not counted. Where does he get the power to say he's not going to count the votes? End quote. The Capital Times called Fitzgerald's office. Nobody answered Monday evening to clarify where he gets his authority. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Mike Tate issued a statement saying, quote, Republican state senators weren't content with stripping thousands of working families of their voice in the workplace. Now they want to strip them of their voice in state government as well. Scott Walker must end Scott Fitzgerald's move to silence senators that represent more than 2 million Wisconsinites and immediately restore their voting rights, end quote. Oh, come on. Come on, Mike. Come on, that's a very lofty statement, and it sounds real definite. But what do you think? Do you think that Scott Walker is immediately going to overturn his butt boy's directive in the state Senate? No. Listen, Mike Tate, Wisconsin chair of the Democratic Party, there's only one thing to do. get some people together and go pay a visit to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and pants him. Take his pants off. Take his pants off. Take his skivvies off and put him outside. Just put him outside and make him, take him downtown, drop him off in front of, what the hell's the name of that bar? Damn it. Drop him off in front of that bar. Maybe somebody will buy him a drink. Or maybe somebody will pour some beer on his wee-wee. and humiliate him. Scott Fitzgerald and Scott Walker are the types that the only effective way of treating these swine is to humiliate them. Find out where Scott Fitzgerald's girlfriend lives and you know, just pay her something. Anyone who would hang out in a sexual way with Scott Fitzgerald was probably doing it for money. Find out where Scott Walker's girlfriend lives and bring her front and center. Huh? Why not? God, these people make me sick. Just sick. Ted in Santa Fe. Mike, listened to your program this evening and heard you talking about pantsing. Akin to your pantsing, I came up with catch and release. Catch a bastard like Walker, strip him naked, shave his head, then release. His clothes and cash donated to charity. His hair kept as a trophy. Repeat as necessary. Ted in Santa Fe. Catch and release. Oh, my God. So, I wonder if the people, if the million people who voted for Scott Walker, is this what you wanted? Are you happy with this? Is this, you wanted it demonstrated in front of the world? I realize that there's some horrific things going on right now that kind of dim the spotlight that normally would be on Madison, Wisconsin. But is this what you Wisconsinites, you right-wingers, you Republican rat bastards, is this what you want your state to be seen as across the globe, as a place where idiots and morons are now in control, a state that has a great history where it concerns civil liberties and workers' rights, and all of a sudden there's a 180 here and you have this clownish freak running your government and your Senate? Pants them. Pants them, I'm telling you. It's the only way to handle this. Pants them. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. Three of the hours tonight was sponsored by Bill Bryan. Bill, thank you very much. That was very very generous of you. We appreciate it here. The big deal in the Republicans in the run-up now to 2012 is to save our country from Sharia law, from Islamic fundamentalist law, Sharia law. Did you realize that? There is this huge threat to impose Sharia law on the United States. Yeah, no, really. In all the little jerkwater courthouses all over the South here, and I don't know, in San Francisco and Madison and Boston, Sharia law, it's coming, it's coming. The latest freak to bring this up is Rick Santorum, the guy who likes to fondle mummified corpses that come from his wife. And take them home for his children to play with, too. He told a group in New Hampshire, the same group that listened to Michelle Bachmann declare that New Hampshire was the site of the beginning of the Revolutionary War. He told a group in New Hampshire that the Islamic code of conduct, Sharia, is evil. Evil. Politico's Kendra Marr said that Santorum's anti-Sharia rhetoric indicated that the former Pennsylvania senator is trying to establish himself as the candidate most aligned with the Republican Party's conservative base. You dumb goddamn cockroaches. You morons. Ow, we gotta keep Sharia law out of the United States. Rick, we love you, Rick. Now, he's not the only one. But Santorum said, quote, we need to define it and say what it is, and it is evil. Sharia law is incompatible with American jurisprudence and our Constitution, end quote. Santorum added, Sharia law is not just a religious code, it's also a governmental code. Really? Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, and complete freak ass. I mean, Huckabee is so far out there, the rubber band snapped. You know what I'm saying? And he's just bouncing somewhere. He recently called Islam the antithesis of the gospel of Christ. They're nuts. They're crazy. So, why are they here? I mean, they're like a cancer. What do you do with a cancer? Anti-Sharia laws have recently been proposed in Tennessee and Alabama. And Oklahoma voters passed a resolution in November that prohibits the use of Sharia law when making rulings. Tennessee and Alabama? Are you kidding me? Who's afraid that Tennessee and Alabama, Mississippi and Georgia and Kentucky and Louisiana and that somehow all our little half-witted jerk-ass white-run courthouses that still exist down here, run by a bunch of Protestant snake handlers, what, that it's going to go to Sharia law? Oh, my God! Kathy, think for a minute. When we drive down to the Florida Panhandle, all those little South Georgia towns we go through, oh, my God, places like Hayhira and Moultrie and Sop Choppy and what's some more of them? No, that one's in Florida, but in Georgia, yeah. I mean, there are just so many of these little towns we go through, and if it happens to be the county seat, you know, they have this great big-ass courthouse down there, and right out in front of the courthouse, you have some white general or colonel from the War of Northern Aggression sitting on his big-ass horse out there in front. Can you imagine those places all of a sudden saying, well, we got to give up our God-installed Protestant law and do Sharia now. Well, I just wish that the Georgia legislature would have passed a law saying we couldn't. Cordele, Georgia. Cairo. Tifton, Thomasville, Moultrie. Moultrie's where I pulled a hog hair. I'm not going to tell that story again. But Rick Santorum, this crazy man from Pennsylvania, and Newt Gingrich, who's trying to out-Jesus all of these people. Newt Gingrich, who practically walks around, or used to, until he married that Callista. Have you seen pictures of her? That's not... You know what Callista is? I finally figured out. I never could figure out what she's one of those robots that you can what was it that we saw on television a long time ago? It was some report on one of those sex on HBO shows. Remember those robots that were made that look exactly like human beings? They're called Real Girls. Is that what they're called? Real Girls? That's Callista. I swear to God. But here's old Newt trying to out Jesus. You know, Newt, who never gave a tinker's damn about any kind of Jesus nutting. He just recently converted to Catholicism, I guess, because his robot told him to. But here these monkeys are, and now we have Haley Barbour. Haley Barbour's making up his mind if he's going to run and he's going to keep Sharia law out of Mississippi. Yes. God damn it. We got to, you know, I've been trying down here for 50 years to keep our state quiet and pure and free from all this mess. Now these Muslims are, God damn, I've been fighting the Negroes for how long now? Now I got to fight the Muslims. Aye. It's madness. It's insanity. Total. I mean, what are you going to do? I would say pants, Haley Barbour, but Jesus Christ, it would take a tow truck to get those britches off, wouldn't it? I'll see you tomorrow night. You take care now, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.